You are now listening to a Rabble Press podcast.
You can fucking have them.
Clock out, come home, and drink away to bash and burn the weekly plays. Douchey calls and sweaty balls, this is Scotch Sporting.
It is your
in your town ever so briefly on the weekend.
Uh-huh. And what did you do in the hammer?
I was in Burlington for most of the time. So Heather is one of my best friends, is the head coach of the men's national team. What? For dodgeball.
Oh, that's all right.
So the first sort of combine, so they invite, I want to say, like 25 athletes, and I think 12 make the team.
Okay.
So this was the first combine of athletes. And so I was helping like shag balls, run the drills, all that shit. So most of the time was spent in the gym, but then we did an escape room.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have two really good escape room companies in your town.
Well, there you go.
Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Highly recommend. And I forget, Crimson something. It's very close to your house, Chris.
Okay.
Really, really good multi-rooms. A couple leaps of logic with solving the puzzles, which I'm not a huge fan of like, who would ever think to do that?
Right.
And no spoilers, but like, you know, we had to ask for a hint on one of them. And the hint was given. I was like,
Too much.
Kind of needed the walkthrough then for this one.
Right.
But definitely I would recommend.
All right. I've never done an escape room.
But you love puzzles.
I do. I do, and I like board games a lot.
This is Oh my god.
I know.
Okay.
I haven't lived.
I'm going to send a couple weekend options.
Okay.
And we will either come to you in Hamilton,
or you can come to us in Toronto. The big smoke.
And we will do an escape room.
Oh, well, that sounds fantastic.
What's your RPG experience?
What kind of RPG experience? Like, so are we talking pen and paper RPG or like
pen
video?
And paper? No. Video game RPG, but specifically puzzle based RPGs. Like, I'm talking King's Quest, things like that.
No.
Oh.
No, that's not my jam. But okay, I'm still down. Like I said, I like board games. I like thinking.
I know you're down, but maybe I don't want to invite you.
Oh shit, cuz I'm a liability.
You'll be on the other team then. That's the thing.
Yeah,
on the other team. Teams.
That's right.
Cuz so my why I'm very good at escape rooms, or my strength in escape rooms, is I'm good at picking out what is important.
Right.
So I will go into the room and I will say, okay, we have a 3-digit lock, so we're going to need a number that's 3 digits. There's a letter code, so we're going to need a word that's 5 letters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a directional code, so hey, this moves and this is color coded, so this will probably be relevant soon. So,
okay.
I'm good at picking that out. Dave's good at like anything mathy.
Yeah.
Mark will just stare at something and open the door.
I think Dave and I are like, when on the same team, are undefeated, because we even got that ghost ship one done, even though time was up. We just.
No. Okay. We're going to take a second and talk about the ghost ship one and the liability that was my teammate. We thought, so it was me, Ray, and I think Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
And then my friend Kyla were on. So the ghost ship was separated into multiple groups. It was a really cool concept. You went on a little ship around the Toronto Harbor solving puzzles. I think many of the puzzles, specifically one of them, was built for daylight.
Right.
And they didn't account for the fact that it's dark and it's hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
So no spoilers, but you had to look down a periscope, and because I don't know if it's still running, and match something with something else you were seeing.
Right.
And so I think it was very unspoken, and I'm so sorry if you listen to this, Kyla. Me, Gabe, and Ray were like, what can we distract Kyla with while the rest of us go solve the puzzles?
I like it.
So we're like, here, take this periscope.
Yep.
And go figure out what you can see.
Perfect.
And that was her puzzle for the entire hour that this escape room was going around the Toronto Harbor. And she did not solve it, but to be fair, it was difficult to see. You kind of had to match up hash marks on the periscope to things you were seeing on the wall. we all looked and it was very hard to see.
Yeah.
Although Mark and Dave's team clearly got it. So I will say we got all the other puzzles. We just, I don't know if we stuck Kyla on the wrong one. Were we just hindered with Kyla in general?
We'll never know. But Chris,
if you do these escape rooms, I have a couple friends. I do have a friend, and I will not name their name, that if they are involved in an escape room, I will not do it with them.
Oh, wow.
They are not only a liability in terms of us not solving, but they will actively harm you
from solving the puzzles. They're like the traitor.
And then Rothman's partner had to be physically moved from a puzzle because she was just like,
oh man,
not getting it, but blocking anyone else from getting it.
Right.
So there's just a couple people. Mark, yep. did you the Haunted Mansion one with us where we killed the butler by accident?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, we murdered someone, and then we asked the guy. We were like, "Oh, that probably is the outcome, regardless."
I forgot who did it, but I'm like, why'd you do that? Because it clearly said, you know, it would turn on the furnace, and I'm like, the butler's in there, and then killed him.
I want to say it was Fishbane, but it honestly could have been me. And then we asked the game guy at the end, like, "They're obviously the butler dies every time," and he's like, "Oh no, you could have not killed him."
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we're just filthy murderers.
And we try. What's the worst street in Hamilton?
Barton.
Barton.
That's it. Wow. Oof.
It is.
Oof. But bless the couple places trying to give it a go there. We tried to get into Mai Pai.
Yep.
Mai Tai?
No, Mai Pai.
Not Mai Pai. Oh,
okay.
It's a pizza place.
It is a tiki bar that sells pizza.
Yeah.
And we went at 6 o'clock thinking we were fine, and then they were like, "No, sorry. No,
this is Hamilton, bro. You think it's not happening? It's happening."
Barton Street was happening.
Barton Street usually happening.
But like.
But scary.
Murder.
Happening. Yeah, scary happening. Yeah. Hookery, druggies. You know, it's all.
Yeah, for sure. People openly doing crack.
Yes. Yes. 1,000%.
Which I'm used to.
I saw a lady. I was leaving Fortino's. After work today, and I saw a lady and they were going through her bag because she had obviously stolen stuff. And I felt bad. Cause she looked,
yeah, I felt
she, it, like it was a mental thing. And it was like,
yeah,
like, come on guys. Like, I mean, I know she can't steal, but like, you know, they weren't being shitty, but it was just like, I just felt like shit. I just felt shitty watching it.
I'd look away if people were taking food.
Yeah. It's food.
But we were driving on the way to Barton Street. There's a park we had to pass that people, like, you could see the bathroom door at the public park was open.
Yep.
And people were absolutely doing drugs. And I saw a cop walking through the park towards the bathroom.
Yep.
And I saw the cop, but I just wanted to roll down the windows and be like, guys,
he's coming.
Run.
He's coming. He's coming.
How are you both?
Good? So have we seen this?
Chris.
Yeah. Have we seen this video of Pierre Polyev eating an apple and
no.
dunking on the liberal media? You guys really haven't seen this video?
No.
No.
Share it, please.
So it's a reporter asking Pierre Polyev a very like I think it's a question that Pierre Polyev should be answering. And he was saying, like, you know, the way you are going about your campaign is very. He compares him to Donald Trump, and he says and he's like, because he goes, well, some Canadians would say you're taking a page out of Donald Trump's book. And so Pierre Polyev, he's got the apple in his hand with his sunglasses hanging off of his pinky finger, and he's taking the bite of the apple, and he's like, what people? What page out of the book? Show me the page. What page? And so he's just shutting it down like that, right? Like, just like, I'm not answering your question because you're not being specific enough. And then so at the end, the guy's like, well, you know what I mean. And he goes, no, I have no idea what you mean. He's like, it's your question. Tell me who the people are. And he's like, all right, I'll rephrase it. He's like, why should Canadians trust you with your vote, with their vote? And he's like, oh, because common sense. I'll bring common sense, blah, 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 blah. Americans, especially right-wing Americans and right-wing, I've seen Australians being like, oh, there's hope for Canada.
But it's interesting because that's almost the opposite Trump strategy. And like, I respect that a little bit because it should be, because Trump is all about like, well, the people are saying,
right,
you know, and I shouldn't be indicted. And no reporter is like, well, what people?
Right. And you're right, because he did flip that scenario. But just the way he's like, he's trying to be like too cool for school. With the fucking apple and like...
Is there a cool way to eat an apple?
I mean, yes. Oh, no. Yes, with a knife. You slice it off and then that's the cool way to eat an apple.
With one
apples
hand?
Apples hurt my teeth.
No, you do two. You hold it.
I've had them too sweet for me.
Yeah, I've never been a huge apple person.
No.
So, but anyways, I'm watching these Americans gush over him and like... There was one, I think it was Megyn Kelly, was like, oh, can he come to the U.S.? You can fucking have him. You know what? We'll line up all of our fucking politicians. You can take them all. Because guess what? They all suck. Trudeau
take
sucks.
Take our prime minister.
Yeah,
with
Trudeau
multiple
sucks.
Blackface voters.
Polyev sucks. Singh sucks. They all suck. He's not good. He's not good. Uh-oh, am I wrong?
No. I think all of them suck.
Oh, okay. There is not a likable person who seems competent. Because I'll give Singh this. He seems like a nice enough guy. But I don't think he's competent enough to run the country. And
no,
obviously Trudeau spent 8 years proving that he's not competent enough to run the country. And
but
fucking,
the other party's gonna give us a viable option, and that's why
and Milhouse ain't gonna do it either. So I hate this country sometimes.
But with Poilievre, and I think to me, I could be very wrong. Even our rightiest leader, Poilievre.
Yeah. Poilievre, I love it.
If he went to the States,
did he steal Arya's sword?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he went to the States, he'd be a Democrat.
Oh, he'd be labeled a socialist.
Like even our most right wing, the Bloc Québécois, you can go fuck yourselves.
Yeah,
that conservative movement, like go fuck yourselves. I'm talking like the three major parties.
I think there's some people in Alberta that would end up in the Republican Party.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
But
then you have Ontario NDP, who's the official opposition. They had the member like openly like pro Hamas.
Yeah.
And the leader whose name I forget was like, it's fine. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And we're almost two.
Yep. This country.
Too great.
This country.
But need I remind you, we
make
do have
Canada
a prime minister
great again.
Who has multiple blackface photos.
Mm-hmm.
And when asked, are there any more? He said, I don't know.
Could be.
There might.
I'm not
there
sure.
There could be.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Do you guys want to ask me how many blackface photos of myself I have?
How many?
Zero. And I can say that with like absolute certainty.
You know how many there are of me?
Two?
Zero. Why? I don't.
Well, I told you the only my only question mark, and I don't think this ever was done to me. Is my grandpa, and not that this excuses anything, this is the one who's captured by the Nazis, was in a concentration camp. So he's seen some shit. He had like this Saudi Arabian costume.
Okay.
And my brother and I would wear it for Halloween, which is questionable.
Yep.
At best.
We were kids.
And I think when we were talking about the Trudeau scandal, I said, you know, we did this and it was questionable, but at least we didn't like do blackface to match it. And my mom said, I think your grandpa put shoe polish once on your brother.
Oh, boy.
Burn the photos.
So it was the 80s. There probably aren't any photos.
Perfect.
But, you know, my brother is a decently high ranking firefighter in London. Yep. Now this could end.
Now you've just outed it.
Now I've just outed his brown face
scandal.
Are you guys having a nice week before we jump into sports?
Yes.
Mark, what are you watching?
I'm actually in the middle of a basketball draft.
Yeah. Oh, you do basketball as well.
I do.
Mark does it all.
I find hockey too much pressure to set my lineups. Basketball is the same frequency. I just don't think I could.
Because they overlap for almost the entire season. Like, it's got to be a nightmare.
Baseball's the worst.
Yeah.
People who do fantasy baseball, I bow down to you. It's every fucking day.
At least with baseball, it's the only sport I have to focus on.
That's true.
Basketball, hockey, and I have football on top of that as well. So yeah. I have three.
But football, it's at some point on Thursday, usually at like 7:49. I'm like, oh, fuck, do I have anyone playing tonight? And then I quickly check. And then I don't think about it until like 11 o'clock on a Sunday. And then I do my stinker tinkers a la the league. You know, you go have a poop and that's when you toy with your fantasy team. Usually on Tuesday when I win or lose, I'll make some roster waiver wire moves. And then I forget until just before Thursday when I have a panic attack of do I have anyone going? And then I set my lineup for the rest of the week. But hockey, my God, the amount I have to care. We are week two into the fantasy hockey season. We already have someone that has been warned to set their rosters.
Oh, wow. Wow.
How do you, this isn't a deep dive nor a Scotch Sporting leadoff. How do you guys feel about people that sometimes don't set their rosters? To me, I think there's that one person in every league.
Yes.
And I think it's roulette of, I hope they don't pay attention when you are facing them this week.
Yeah.
But then I will scream bloody murder when they're not facing me and they don't set their lineups. Right. How do you guys feel about those people?
I don't like them.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good. It's annoying. Yeah. It's not fair because if you don't set your lineups against Mark, but then you set your lineups when you play me, like, well, why did Mark get the free win?
Because Mark will beat you anyways.
All right, but maybe he wouldn't have.
I think it's a tale as old as time with fantasy. There's always going to be someone that doesn't set it.
Right. Oh, 100%.
Okay. Shall we? My cough's getting a little bit better, as you can hear. But I'm still not going to mute myself. Shall we get into sports?
Sports.
Scotch Sporting leadoff. Five topics that are mildly interesting. And I do have specific questions for each of you. We will put 1 minute on the clock to answer those questions. First thing, struggling offenses in the NFL this week. They had the worst offense since 2014, I believe, and the only two teams made it to 27 points, which was also the worst since 1994.
Wow.
So, yeah. Is the NFL too boring? I wanted to talk about this because, Mark, your team was the victim of one of these low-scoring games. And a lot of, blah, 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 what are we going to do, blah, blah, blah. The Jets, fucking go Jets. Pew, 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 pew. There is no undefeated team in the NFL this year. Obviously, I think this is an anomaly for those teams that did lose. The Bills put up shit points, but ended up winning against the Giants. A lot of questionable games this week. My question for you gentlemen is, would you rather see a defensive barn burner like what we witnessed in most of the games this week? Or would you rather see a highfalutin 70-20 offense like Miami put up?
No one wants to see 70-20.
1 minute on the clock. Is defense pulling you in or is offense pulling you in?
Defense doesn't pull you in. Like, I mean, yeah, big hit, interception, yada yada, that's cool, but like, you're not watching the game just to watch teams go three and out.
Because take Deshaun Watson out of the Cleveland Browns and take the fact it's Cleveland out of the Cleveland Browns. That was an incredible performance.
They have a really good defense.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Mark, did you call them a Super Bowl defense? Someone I talked to said they have a Super Bowl caliber defense.
I said top five.
Okay.
Mark, what's pulling you in?
I can enjoy both. I can find merit in either options.
Would you like to take a minute to justify the 49ers loss then?
Justify it. It was raining. Bad calls by the officials that kept the drive alive for the Cleveland on that last drive that got them the field goal to take the lead.
You're not concerned?
No. All right. On the road against a non-divisional, non-conference opponent.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Though?
What was that?
How about them Jets?
The Jets? I actually picked to cover the spread. And then as I'm watching the game, third quarter, I put the bet in for them to win because they looked a lot better than the Eagles did.
I didn't touch that game because I was like, this is one of those ones that's going to be it. And the way the Eagles have been playing, the way the Jets have been playing, I was like, this is one of those games that's going to be an upset. And I kick myself for not betting on the upset, but I just didn't touch it. Okay, next. Little bitches are going to little bitch. In the ongoing saga of James Harden, he did not show up to 76ers practice today. And is not just didn't show up, he is in Houston.
It's better strip clubs.
At his favorite strip club, the one with the retired his jersey.
That's right.
It's a long saga that we have talked about. He didn't like that they didn't offer him the max contract. He just doesn't like how the 76ers have been dealing with them. Our boy Nick Nurse is now the head coach of the 76ers. He had a press conference that was basically like, if he's here, we'll play with him. If he's not, we won't. He has demanded a trade to the Clippers, specifically the Clippers. So my question for you, gentlemen, is when are you sympathetic? Chris might be dying. We'll ask Mark. Mark, when are you sympathetic to players demanding a trade? And why are you angry at James Harden, as I believe you are?
I'm sympathetic when it's a good player on a very bad team that's been mishandled, like Damian Lillard. I have sympathy for him.
Mm-hmm.
Harden doesn't get that because he's done this four times now.
Yeah.
Hasn't he done this on every team?
Every single team. And he's never won a single thing.
Sounds like he's a loser.
And aren't the 76ers going to be good this year? I have my timer going, Chris. It's not like he's playing for like the Spurs.
Yeah. Well, he left the Brooklyn Super Team when they had Durant and Irving.
So what's his play here?
I don't know.
Because even if he goes to the Clippers, I don't see the Clippers beating
anybody.
Beating these guys.
Well, I mean, they have, you know, Kawhi and Paul George, so there's another like super ensemble there. But
those guys are all kind of those guys are all kind of aging though, no?
Well, they all are.
They're kind of on the this part of their career. My question, Chris, I don't know if you took your headphones with you. Mm-hmm. When are you sympathetic to players?
I mean, but I agree with Mark. Like, players in a bad situation or players coming up on the end of their career looking for championships. But even then, a player like that's not really going to demand a trade. Yeah, I just don't like the demanding a trade.
I feel like I might be sympathetic only in football because of how violent it is and how immediately your career can change.
And none of their contracts are guaranteed. Aren't basketball contracts fully guaranteed?
They are.
So again, yeah, it's like football is the one where it's like, yeah, like nothing's guaranteed.
Maybe hockey, maybe because of how how tough that is on the body as well.
Same thing though. Contracts are guaranteed. You sign, yeah, the, but you sign on the dotted line, you got hockey. The money. Sure.
Because for me, there's a cap in hockey, but hockey then is truly about, like, if you demand a trade, it's truly about winning.
Yeah.
Not your Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Right, or
Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah, or why am I blanking on his fucking name? Lindros. Right, like Lindros gets drafted and is like, I'm not fucking playing for Quebec. You know,
joke's on him. That team ended up winning the cup because of the picks that they got.
Yeah, they fucking cleaned up.
They have everyone draws to thank.
Not Quebec. Colorado.
No, Quebec. Oof.
And he's like, had I known they were going to move to Colorado, I would have stayed.
Yeah, because that's not Quebec. That's Colorado.
I would have gone to Colorado. Okay. So biggest issue facing hockey is obviously the coaches swearing at the referees and not the fact that they're verbally abusing referees. It's the fact that cameras are catching them.
Right.
Swearing at the referees. Apparently, the star of the highlight reel was Paul Maurice.
Okay.
So they took the NHL took all of the head coaches into some kind of summit and played basically like a "Don't Do What Donnie Don't Does" highlight reel of them swearing.
And it was all Paul Maurice.
It was mostly Paul Maurice.
Incredible.
Chris, you're a parent. Mark, you're a hockey fan. Who cares? That's my question.
Who cares? I mean, yeah, like, it's colorful language. It's part of sports. It's, you're going to hear it. That's the way these guys talk. Like,
how did you guys grow up swear word wise?
I was never.
What was the swear policy?
Never a big deal in my house.
Never a big deal in my house either.
I got in trouble for personally swearing, but there was no censorship of me hearing swear words.
Right. Okay. Right.
And I just like hockey is a violent sport. And if you're letting your kid watch hockey,
right,
it's, I feel like
there's a weird mental gymnastic that parents do where violence is okay, but bad words are not, and obviously anything sex related is not.
It was sex. I could watch violence and hear swearing, but it was any mushy bits, as my parents called it. Mushy. They would then change it.
I like it.
Okay. Here, Mark. Cowboys fans suck. So Mike Parsons wants Eagles and 49ers to receive the same energy for a loss that the Cowboys did. So first of all, without putting time on the clock, how do you feel about that statement in general? Because Cowboys fans were like attempting to burn down Jerry World. Whereas the Eagles and the 49ers, which had just as much, if not more hype, lost to equally as terrible teams. But there wasn't the same visceral, these guys are terrible reaction. So how do you feel about that statement in general? And then I'll get to my actual question.
I mean, the fandom for Cowboys have suffered longer than the Eagles and the Niners.
Yep.
At least the Eagles and Niners have made championship games, whereas Cowboys haven't even made the NFC Championship since 96.
Yeah. And I mean, they've won some playoff games,
but never gotten to the championship game.
So
and every year, it's always like, this is the year. Super Bowl year. This is the year. Every year.
Hey, Cowboys fans, it's not the year. It's not this year. Sorry.
Well, this is my side question. And I haven't even asked Dave this, but I was talking about it with Gabe on the weekend of like wellness check on Dave, like, who, you know, with me out of town.
Yeah.
Who's going to do the wellness check on Dave during the football game? And I was like, I forget who the Vikings were playing, but I was like, if they don't win this game,
it was the Bears.
I was like, if they don't beat the Bears, like, I don't know if I should come home, but I don't know what Dave was expecting going into the season to make him as mad as he is at the losses.
Right.
So I think that's how I feel about the Cowboys is like, what were you expecting this year?
Here's what I could say. And now, again, I don't know what's going on in Dave's head, but I, you know, when you think about it, when you think about that division, right? The Packers got worse.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what was Minnesota's record last year? Like, they did well last year, right?
Mm-hmm. I think they made
right. Playoffs. So you would expect that they're going to be right back in it.
But
not if you look at the underlying stats, though, because, like,
I was going to say, but arguably Minnesota Minnesota got worse because they didn't improve themselves. So everyone just aged a little bit and they lost Adam Thielen. Not that he was the Adam Thielen he was a couple of years ago, but he was still that.
Yeah.
He was a preferred target for Kirk Cousins, but it's like everyone just aged a little bit more. But then Detroit got good.
Right. But I mean, I think that you would think, oh, well, we should be competing for the division.
Yeah, I think they're worse than expectations, but the reactions that have happened in my home.
Well, I mean,
as the result of losses, I'm like, how are you not prepared for this?
Yeah.
You like, should how have did seen you not, this coming?
The Chargers, the donkety doinks in the end zone resulted in a hat taken off, thrown violently across the room with many swear words uttered. And a lot of stomping, and I'm sitting there like my reaction, obviously, in these situations is to laugh, which was not appreciated.
I imagine not.
But I just was like, well, what were your expectations going into this season that this is a shock?
Yeah.
Like the Chargers are a good team.
No, but they're just as bad as the Vikings as the self-implosions.
Yeah, that's true.
On Monday night against the Cowboys.
Dave, are you coming upstairs? Do you have a quick second?
No.
What are you doing?
Getting ready.
Oh, he's getting his weed. Dave, what were your expectations going into this season with the Minnesota Vikings that has resulted in your rage at their losses?
Win the North.
See, that's what I said. That's what I said.
Okay.
There's no reason to. They won it last year. No reason to really expect they wouldn't be fighting for it again this year.
I suppose I am a pessimistic sports fan.
Yeah,
I am as well. When the Blue Jays lost in the playoffs, I'm sad, but I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, because I just okay. I was expecting them to make the playoffs, which they did.
Yep.
I wasn't anticipating any deep run, and then it wasn't. I thought it would be a little bit longer, to be fair, but I'm like, yeah,
maybe win one game.
My Bruins are 2-0, and I'm trying not to get excited because like, it's a long season, and I don't think they'll be as good as they were last year. And last year they got bounced in the first round, so I'm like, all right, okay. So my actual question:
they set the NHL record for wins and points.
I know. I know, but then bounced in the first round. Yeah. So my actual question for you guys, 1 minute on the clock. Who is the worst fan base in sports? Now, the worst isn't, because obviously, like, every single human in Philadelphia should be top of this list.
Okay.
Because it's not and anyone in San Francisco who's literally murdered someone who didn't agree with their team.
Yeah.
This isn't who's the angriest to other people. This is who is the worst to their own fan base.
Like to their own players?
To their own. Yeah. To their own team. Gotcha. Who has the worst fan base in all of sports?
Mark. I feel like I'm in a bias just because I'm just bombarded with it every day.
Yeah. Mark's going to say the Leafs.
I hate them.
They're really bad.
The thing I hate the most.
Yeah. They're really bad.
Like last night on our betting stream, Chris asked me, you know, is there a team in hockey that I hate? I'm like, there isn't a team, but I can tell you who I really hate, and that's the Leafs fan base.
Yeah. Everything is the sky is falling. And any success is not good enough, Chris.
Well, yeah, I agree. I would say obviously Cowboys fans are up there. Yankees fans are up there.
Yeah.
It's the fans where they're like, oh, the whole sport revolves around our team. Those are the fan bases I don't like. And that's the Leafs, the Cowboys, the Yankees, they're all that.
My vote goes to the Cowboys, I think, because Leaf fans, and maybe because we're Canadian, are slightly more pessimistic. But Cowboys fans, like, genuinely every year believe that they're going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then the second there's a loss, completely turn on their team, and there's a win, we're right back in there. We're Leafs fans. I think maybe there isn't the we fucking got this Stanley Cup bound, and then the first loss is like, let's burn down the ACC.
I'll say Ticats fans are pretty bad for that kind of thing too.
Well, and I will say, as you guys might know, podcast legend, I have two friends that weren't into football as of about, let's say, 15 years ago and wanted to get into football because a lot of the rest of us were, didn't have a team, huge Maple Leafs fans, and chose the Cowboys because they were most like the Maple Leafs in terms of their fandom and team.
God, why would you do that to yourself?
Exactly. Okay, speaking of center of the sports universe, Chris, you sent a tweet or an X.
An X.
That really, really got me, got me upset.
Angry.
So I'm just going to read it, and I'm gonna say a little bit of bias. So this is Dave Naylor, who I genuinely don't like.
Oh, really?
Okay. He's just, something about him is just weird. Right. The Blue Bombers are trending towards their fourth consecutive sellout at 32,000 plus this weekend. Meanwhile, and I had actually just read this earlier today, the NHL, the Jets drew 11,000. I think it was like 11,500 last night. A city where the CFL team sells out and the NHL team does not. Let that sink in, Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto, let that sink in.
So I did read earlier today that the Jets, there was about 7,000 unsold tickets. Mm-hmm. And the fear is, guys, we've done this before and we lost our team before. So I had been reading about that before Dave Naylor's tweet.
Gary's not going to fuck around. He's not going to Phoenix this shit. You're not going to be playing in no college arena. He's going to move you to Houston. He's going to move you to Atlanta. He's going to move you to...
The Jets are going to go back to the Atlanta so fucking fast.
Yeah.
Go and see the Jets. So I am a bit biased because I despise the let that sink in tweets. As much as I do the people who say, okay, face hive. And then like, what? Okay, face hive. Like the when they're asking on Facebook for like the brain trust of something. Of like, okay, face hive. I need a new blah, blah, blah.
Who the fuck? I've never seen anyone say face hive.
But what I hate most of all, and I'm sure you've seen this, is when you say something like, hey, Toronto, I'm going to be visiting you for the next weekend. I'm looking for a really good Mexican place to go to, and go.
Yeah.
The and go, as if all of us are just
waiting.
Refreshing,
oh, my God.
Just refreshing Facebook.
He finally asked.
My God, Jessica is going to ask for a Mexican restaurant, and I need to be ready to give her my
recommendations. I need at least three. And they can't be fucking Taco Bell and Chipotle.
It's a weird, I don't know what the category is, Chris. I think you're in it. No offense. Like, you're just a little bit older than the millennial cutoff.
Yeah.
But you're not in your own group. I think it's people who were born like 78 to like 82.
Yeah, me and Lindsay argue about whether I'm a millennial or a Gen X. Because I say I'm Gen
X. You're not a millennial.
And she says I'm a millennial. And I am in that weird, like, because yeah, I can fit into both.
You're absolutely not Gen X.
Right.
But I don't think you're millennial either. You're the group that Anne goes on Facebook.
Oh, I would never do that.
So I think that's what bugged me. So I got
Hold on. No, let me hold on. Because before I went to Iceland, I didn't do it on Facebook, but I went into a Discord with a bunch of people and I said, hey, I'm looking for restaurants for me and my dad. Anybody got any suggestions?
That's fine.
That's fine. Okay. Not because I didn't do and go.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Cool.
Asking for recommendations. You're not saying, okay, everyone, now you can answer.
Right.
I will happily, I've been to London a whole bunch of times. People will post, hey, I'm going to London. Does anyone know a good place to eat? I'm like, here are five places that are super affordable. Or like, you need Toronto recommendations. I'll let you know. Victoria, I'm so happy to tell you about places I enjoy. If you and go me.
Yeah. You ain't hearing shit.
No. I know the best fish and chip spot.
Yeah.
In my opinion, in London, I'm not telling you shit if you and go me.
Mm.
So I feel the same about that. As soon as you say let that sink in, I'm like, I'm not reading this any further. Get fucked, Dave Naylor. So got really angry about this.
You did.
Because a couple reasons. First of all, name me seven things to do in Winnipeg, and you can't say go to the fucking zoo that's there five times.
Freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to know when you Google things to do in Winnipeg?
Yeah.
One of the first things that comes up, go to a fucking Jets game. That's what comes up.
Right.
And I found a couple websites. This is not me shitting on Winnipeg. I'm sure you're a wonderful city. You're just very small. And all of your lists of things on your things to do, every major city has.
Right.
We all have an art gallery. We all have a museum. We all have a market. One of your top things is one of those like Scandinavian thermal spas. I think there's five that I could walk to in Toronto. Good for you. I'm so happy, Winnipeg, you have these things for people to do. If you go to roadtripmanitoba.com for the ultimate guide of things to do in Manitoba or in Winnipeg, one of the top things is how to get to Winnipeg.
Ooh.
People don't know where your city is within your own province. That's... You need to be explained how to get to your city in Winnipeg.
That's not good.
Now, Dave Naylor, let's talk about the prices. So amongst the fact there are 1,000 other things to do in Toronto, it's not an apples to apples comparison because we as Torontonians have many options of things to do.
Right.
Also, it's not an apple to apples comparison because ticket prices are also a huge comparison. If I can pull up, we are going to go to the next Blues game. I can still get tickets for $34.
Yep.
To the next Blue Bombers game. If we want to sit at the 50-yard line, basically where you guys sit at Ticats games, but right at the 50-yard line, we're going to pay $64, a little more expensive, but we're right at the 50-yard line. If we want to go to Jets game, I am going to the Jets v. Edmonton Oilers. I am sitting in the upper bowl. Right at the goal line, back of the tank for $85.
Yeah. Even the shitty, like, at the end, behind the net, are $60. Like, top row, 300 level, they're $60.
I actually think these might be sold out. So, yeah, like, ticket price, also a huge thing. Also, let's talk about home games, shall we?
Yep.
How many games in the CFL, friends?
9 home games.
9 home games versus, let's say, 41 home games. So if you total the amount of people going to see Jets home games and total the amount of people seeing Blue Bombers home games,
mm-hmm.
It's more people going to see the Jets.
Yep.
So based on a sellout, total attendance for the Bombers season is around 274,000 people. The Jets averaging 11,000 for the remainder of the season still gets you to 451,000 people if you would like to talk about numbers.
So suck a dick, Dave Naylor.
Suck a dick, Dave Naylor. I don't know what's sinking in for me as a Torontonian.
Well,
I know no one goes and sees the Argos.
And again, this is not the way to get people to go see the Argos. The Argos have a problem that needs to be solved and attendance needs to be fixed. Them being as great as they've been this season has been helping because, like, definitely attendance is way up. I mean, way up, but it's up. Mm-hmm. So, but condescension.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your ticket to help to getting people getting butts in those seats, man.
I don't know if there's a time when the Argos are playing that one of the other sports in Toronto isn't.
I don't think there is. Because the season starts, CFL season
starts.
Well,
the Jays are going.
The Jays are going, mm-hmm. Yeah. And they play right
and
through
then it's
until...
hockey and basketball.
Yeah.
And TFC, like, we didn't even talk. Tyler somewhere is screaming at his head, his earbuds. Now we have TFC the whole time that people care about.
Yeah. But you know my argument about, like, I still can't figure out how people go out for that but don't go out for the CFL. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I agree. I think people
a different fandom than
no. I understand, but the MLS is and I've said this 1,000 times. Like on the world stage of soccer leagues, you know, if you were ranking the soccer leagues, English Premier League, Bundesliga, all of those, where does it rank? 20th, if you're lucky.
And if you're ranking the CFL,
and if you're ranking
the NFL,
and if you're ranking
number one in North America, though,
if you're ranking football leagues in the world, it's NFL, it's CFL, XFL, USFL, whatever is well below the NFL and the CFL. So it's to me, it just doesn't make sense.
It's the number one league in North America. It's simple as that.
What is?
The MLS.
I understand that, but
it's so huge.
But what I'm saying is the equivalency of, well, it's not the NFL, but when you go and watch MLS, it's not the Premier League either.
But if the Premier League was available here, I guarantee you people will go to the Premier League and stay away from MLS.
Right, but the NFL isn't here either.
No, yeah, I think you're both making you're both making a same point but arguing with each other.
We can go to an NFL game if we wanted to.
What?
Like we can, this within driving distance.
We could. But it's sure. I think you're both making a very similar point, which is we had the luck, although the CFL, but the money is behind the NFL. So let's just say we have the luxury of growing up with the NFL.
Yeah.
As like this is football.
Right.
And then we were given, hey, this is also football. But right. With the MLS, that was really our first, like, hey, guys, here's soccer for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to Mark's point, if the Premier League was here first, we would probably feel the same about the MLS.
Okay. The problem with the Premier League is that their prime time is our afternoon, so no one's watching it here. MLS gets the 7 primetime spot.
But let's just say, hypothetically, Premier League expanded to North America. Like, I get that point as well.
But if you look at the TV numbers for MLS versus CFL, CFL crushes.
Yeah, but you got to factor in the Americans. They're watching soccer over CFL football. And that's what
I just hit me. Dave is my CFL case study.
Yeah.
He loves football.
Right. But
the same
not.
Way, like I grew up watching my dad watch football on Saturdays. It was CFL on the TV all day. On Sundays, it was the NFL. And my dad just loved football.
Yep.
And so he would just watch from Thursday to Sunday or Thursday to Monday. Football was on TV. Whereas Dave loves football the same way my dad does.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said did, but my dad is still alive watching football. But you really can't get him to sit down and watch a CFL game.
It's so weird to me.
It's so weird. And I've tried with him of like, Dave, you have to go into this thinking it's a different sport. I've tried that strategy. Still doesn't work.
Yeah.
So my other Dave Naylor point of let that sink in.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this was a couple replies to him on Twitter of like, you could just as easily say the same thing the other way around.
Right.
Like, hey, Winnipeg, you're selling out your CFL games.
Yeah.
And you still have 7,000 unsold tickets
Let
for your NHL team.
In.
Let that sink in, Winnipeg.
Their max capacity is like 15,000-ish.
Sure. Yeah.
4,000 unsold tickets.
Yeah.
That's a lot of unsold tickets.
Let that sink in.
And Gary will take your team again.
He'll take your team. You know who's not taking the Argos away from you? Tannenbaum.
That's right. Because there's nowhere
to put them. The Argos are staying in Toronto. You don't need to worry about it. We can take them for granted. Okay. So
please
Dave Naylor can eat my
please
poop.
Don't. Go see them. I fucking hate them, but go see them.
I am patiently waiting, and I believe next year is the year that I will be getting season tickets for me and Rowan.
Yes.
And we will go see Argos games.
I love it.
Because it's fun. It's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It's close.
Yep. I get him in there. It's too bad he'll be a little Argos fan, but that's okay.
Will he? I don't know. He might rebel.
Good. Tell him black and gold is better.
No.
It is.
No. Yeah. No, he's growing up a Stamps fan,
oh,
if anything.
On.
This weekend, isn't this weekend the decider? Who's getting that last playoff spot?
If the Rough Riders win, then yes, it's over.
Go Stamps, go! Although they looked oofty goofty, the game that I saw.
Both teams neither, looked awful.
Neither team deserves it, and both teams will lose in whatever the first round is.
Yep. Yeah, because you're either playing Winnipeg or BC, you're getting smashed.
And it's going to be a Winnipeg-Toronto Grey Cup. Really?
Health bending.
I don't know about Winnipeg. Chris? No, I don't know about Winnipeg.
You think BC is going to beat them?
I think BC's got a chance. As long as Adams can stay healthy, I think BC's got a chance to be there.
Mark, same?
Health bending, yeah. I mean, okay. Winnipeg isn't running away with the West like the Argo is with the East, right?
That's true. Winnipeg is I think on the decline. Yeah, I think we talked about it.
Yeah.
Like they're the same, like they basically just put the same team out there and it's like, well, now you're a year older.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't win last year and you didn't make any changes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's take that as Dave Naylor can eat my poo. 1 minute on the clock. We don't have much time left for our deep dive, and that's okay. Because we yelled about how Toronto is the center of the universe, which it is in Canada.
The exact reason why everybody who doesn't live in Toronto hates people who live in Toronto.
I need to qualify this with an asterisk, as I usually do. I also don't like Toronto.
Right.
I don't enjoy living here.
I don't know how you could.
There are many, expensive. Many, many
it's hard to get around.
Things.
It's awful.
I could probably name more negatives than I could positives about my city, but I have nowhere else to go because it is the center of the universe. I work in entertainment. Yeah. There's nowhere else to go. Dave works in media. There's nowhere else to go. We're both huge sports fans. There's nowhere else to go.
Right.
We're stuck here. So I need anyone listening. I like healthcare.
Mm. Oh, you guys have fancy jobs. You'd have healthcare.
Dave has diabetes. He'd get denied.
Oh, fuck.
Right?
Americans are fucking dumb. Imagine thinking that universal healthcare is socialism and bad.
Yeah. And this, imagine, it's not mental gymnastics. I don't even know the right word, but it's the fact they think socialism and communism are the same thing.
I stand by this. There was so much during the Cold War, there was so much like programming and propaganda against communism.
Communist or evil.
Destroyed their psyche. American psyche is destroyed.
Communism sucks dick and it's super corrupt.
It's bad. And you can't even you ask them, they can't even explain to you why. And they can't explain to you why immediately when you say socialism, they go communism.
That's what I want to know. I can explain to you why communism is terrible, but I can't explain to you why in the American psyche, communism and socialism are interchangeable.
The exact same thing.
That I don't understand. I got an alert. Are you still interested in your Winnipeg Jets tickets? No, I am not. So I'll close that tab. So terrible things are still happening in the world. It's an awful place to be. We did a deep dive a couple weeks ago about the worst moments in sports history that you guys have witnessed with the Aaron Rodgers injury. So I wanted to end this podcast on a happy note. I want to know from both of you, and I'll give you mine as well. What is the best sports moment you have ever witnessed in person at a game?
Okay.
And what is the best sports moment you have ever witnessed on television? Because my top are ones where I wasn't there.
Right. Yeah, like for me, television is easy. It's Joe Carter. It's that home run. Like I'm that old. But that home run, Mark remembers that home run. You watched that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I watched it excited as I was for other moments in my adult life because I was still a child then.
Right. Yeah, I was 8. But watching
you guys are way too young. I was 13. So it was like, you know, you're on the cusp of adulthood at 13. Nah, I wasn't shaving yet.
I was, but the Joe Carter home, like watching the replays, like I still get teared up. Like when they play the game in full, you sit down. It's like Dave when Shawshank's on TV. He sits wherever it is.
Doesn't matter.
He sits down and you watch Shawshank.
Yep.
But if you're flipping and they're playing the Joe Carter, that home run Joe Carter game, you sit and you just watch that game.
Yep.
So what is your live moment, Chris?
Live moment would probably be the 2013 East Final in Toronto, where the Cats like just barely made the play, or not just barely made the playoffs, but you know, we were playing in fucking Guelph all year and we make the playoffs, we win that shitty fucking playoff game against Montreal where the wind stopped the fucking field goal from going through. And then we go into Toronto. They're crushing us in the first half. And we come back and we shut them out in the second half. And we win. And we're going to the Grey Cup for the first time since 1999. I was on cloud fucking nine that day. Driving home from Toronto. Yelling at fucking stupid Argos fans on the way out of the stadium. The guy with the Leafs jersey.
There were people to yell at?
No, it was packed. Because this was the Ricky Ray, like the tail end of the Ricky Ray. Like you guys were still drawing crowds then. And I remember like the dude wearing the Leafs jersey a couple rows up and we were giving him shit the whole game because he was wearing a Leafs jersey. And it's just, and Skelly, the fucking Argos fans yapping at us and Skelly just fucking pointing at the scoreboard. It like the best moment. I had so much fun at that game.
That's my favorite when people are chirping. It's like, what's the score? That used to be, although I don't know, when I would go to a Leafs game in my Bruins gear and I get chirped, I'm like, when did you guys win the cup? it's just so easy to just very casually. Yep. I'll do mine because I feel like Mark's are going to be better than mine. My live was Carolina 2019. Dave and I, on a whim, we were in Carolina. It was just fates aligned. It was, you know, we should go see a hockey game if hockey's still going. Oh, my God, hockey's still going. Carolina's doing really well. Let's go see a game. What are the odds they'll play Boston? They ended up playing Boston. When we were there, it was game four. We saw the sweep. We saw them clinch. They ended up losing that year to the Blues in the Stanley Cup Finals. But just being there for that, just everything that had to line up for us to be able to go and then being there for that clinch was incredible. My TV... Jeez, golden goal when I was by myself.
Golden goal.
And I had to stumble out to Yonge Street. Then the next year when they won gold again and hammered, thanks to Rob Ford at 8 in the morning on the table singing O Canada. But it's got to be watching the Raptors at that bar downtown with Dave and our buddy AJ. And then just... the euphoria. Mm-hmm. And then when Dave turned to me and like, what do we do now? And I said, well, we march. And we just left and joined the team heading to Jurassic Park.
Right. That's crazy.
It was just,
yeah, that must have been nuts.
This is why I love sports. It's this shared experience. Mark, what are yours?
I didn't really come up with the live in just because
we like some terrible teams.
Well, because Leafs playoff tickets are impossible to get.
Yeah, you're
rich. Jays tickets are impossible to get unless you're rich as well. Same with the Raptors. Anything with like Toronto base is tough. So I'm on the same page with Chris with the Ticats East Final one at the Sky Dome.
Yeah, it was just because like it had been so long, we weren't expected to win. There was so many things that we got smashed in the Grey Cup, whatever. That for that night.
Yeah.
Man.
Not obviously not like in this category, but I grew up seeing Argos games at the Sky Dome. The first game I saw at BMO, and I think I was there for the very first game.
Yeah.
And I took my dad and Davis with us. And just sitting in those seats and going, this is how football is supposed to be played.
Yes.
This is football.
Yeah. Yeah, because the Sky Dome was terrible for football.
It's terrible for baseball, too. Mark, what's your TV?
Less terrible for baseball.
Oh, it's a toss-up, but I'm going to lean towards the Kawhi shot as opposed to the Batista.
Oh.
That Kawhi shot's something else, man.
Yeah.
Where were you?
Boston
were you
pizza.
Boston Pizza?
Boston Pizza.
With people?
With people. The whole bar was full. As soon as he sunk that, I was literally standing up on my stool because it took four bounces.
Yeah.
And then the entire place just erupted. And I just started running around high-fiving everyone. It was fucking awesome.
Because that has asterisks to me, because that was still when Dave banned me from watching the games with him because he declared me the jinx.
Right. You were the problem.
And so I was alone watching that. And just, I could hear Dave screaming upstairs. And I was like, I am also watching it. We could have been together for this.
It's like, no, you will watch it alone.
But these are just moments that, like, even when I'm thinking about sports, just give me such a warm and fuzzy feeling
Mark almost said it, but like that, the bat flip and that whole seventh inning, like just, you know.
I was at a bar and like the top inning when everyone was like so livid at the umpires, the stupid call. And like the tension building.
It was the right call.
It was the right call, but we were so pissed off. Like,
yeah,
that's how we're going to lose the game? No. Fuck no. And then those three errors in the bottom of the seventh leading up to that run. Like, I did the same thing then.
Yeah.
As soon as he hit the ball, I just got up in my chair, started running around because I knew it was gone. Yeah. I just started hiding everyone. Like, yeah.
Yeah, TV moments, like, we could go on and on and on.
Oh,
like,
for
it
sure.
just. And that's, again, that's just. It's these shared incredible
Joe Thornton scoring. I think it was 2016. He scored one of the goals to win a game in overtime, and he's sliding on the ice on his back. Like shit like that, I remember, you know, like
the Leafs collapse against the Bruins in 2011 or 2012. Like just that moment of just looking around and everyone staring back at me.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm super happy,
sorry.
But I can't express it right now.
I can't be sorry. the sitting at our buddy Gabe's in his fucking basement apartment in Etobicoke, when instead of handing the ball to Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson threw it and just like everyone's pause of like.
What? Wait, what just happened?
Insert Richard Sherman reaction.
Yeah.
No one had a dog in a fight. I liked the Seahawks and hated the Patriots. Well, it's not like I was a diehard Seahawks fan, but still just that shared experience of like the 12 of us drunk as fuck.
Yeah.
Because we're in our 20s going, what?
Did that just
but
happen?
But that moment made me hate Pete Carroll even more.
Yeah.
I already hated him. I'm like, you stupid fucking idiot.
Oh, the Kawhi basket swirling around the rim.
Yeah.
Holy shit, guys.
This is why we do it, right? This is why we watch.
This is why we watch sports. This is why we put ourselves through it. Like, I'm sure I was there. I know I was, but I didn't put it down because I didn't know what home run I was there for, but when Batista was hitting those bombs and setting the Blue Jays record, I was there for one of them for sure. I can't remember which one, and just it was a dark time to be a Blue Jays fan, and the elation of like finally
something to cheer about. Yeah.
The when the Red Sox beat the Yankees back in 2004 question mark. Did they get that comeback?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I watched that live too. This is why we do it, guys. And anyone that shits on sports, this is why we do it. It's these shared incredible experiences. Any other sports news, gentlemen, you want to talk about that isn't Roger Goodell getting extended as commissioner to 2027?
I'm good.
Marcus Bunnicus?
I'm still in the middle of my draft, so my mind is like focused elsewhere.
Well, we will find an escape room day for Chris. It is unbelievable your nerdy puzzle mind has not done one.
I know.
Instagram and Tiki Talkie for all of your Scotch sporting needs. But otherwise, thanks for listening, everybody.
You've been listening to a Rebel Press podcast. Visit rebelpress.com for more podcasts.